Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-230-2777. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-230-2777, 800-230-2777, or biglou.com.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. President Biden heading to Texas with a number of items on his agenda. First stop, the LBJ Library in Austin.
President Biden will commemorate this historic anniversary, talk about his administration's work to advance civil rights for all, and discuss his newly proposed reforms for the U.S. Supreme Court.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre aboard Air Force One. The president will also travel to Houston to pay respects to the late Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee. Former President Trump has agreed to sit for an interview for the FBI, part of its investigation into the attempt on his life. Two children who were taking a dance class are among the dead in a mass stabbing near Liverpool, England. A 17-year-old suspect is under arrest. The Pentagon's announced another $1.7 billion of military aid for Ukraine. The Dow is down 5 points, heading for the close. This is ABC News.
Ask.
Mourners are paying their last respects at Houston City Hall Rotunda to Texas Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, who died of pancreatic cancer earlier this month at the age of 73. Vice President Kamala Harris will attend the funeral on Thursday. Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro has been declared the winner of a third term in a controversial election.
It's hard for independent witnesses to verify the election. And essentially what you've got is a two-stage count. You've got the digital vote and then you've got the paper vote. And it's those paper tallies which are generally taken by the opposition, by others, to verify the digital count. And those irregularities in a lot of cases, those paper results were not released to the opposition. From the papers that they did manage to glean, they said they had 70% of the vote, which is why the de facto leader of the opposition said that the result was impossible.
That's ABC's Ian Paddle. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Downy, rinse and refresh. Break up with stinky clothes.
Rinse it out.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of the stinks that just will never come out.
Oh, Downy in the rinse shade.
Every now and then I rinse it out. One wash and it delivers. One wash, it smells so clean.
Downy, rinse and refresh, it's a dream.
Downy, rinse and refresh removes 100% of odor in just one wash. Guaranteed.
Life hack number 7. Get an iPhone 12 on Straight Talk.
Life hack.
Here's how it works. You walk into Walmart, go to the electronics section, ask for iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system, and select the new Silver Unlimited plan. They'll smile because it's a good plan. You get real unlimited data all for just $20 a month for the whole first year. Get it at Walmart or StraightTalk.com. Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Taxes and fees apply. Requires activation of iPhone 12 and a new Silver Unlimited plan or higher end auto pay enrollment. $25 a month service credit applied for up to 12 months if eligibility requirements are met. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayler. State committee is studying potential regulation for artificial intelligence in Wisconsin. The committee's chair, State Senator Julian Bradley, says the goal is to establish guardrails for lawmakers to consider when drafting policy.
Because we're looking for, are there places where it's necessary for government intervention at this time? This is such a new and emerging technology. We're just scratching the surface. And in 6 months, the information we're going to have now is already going to be slightly out of date because we're going to have new data.
The Legislative Council Study Committee on AI held its first hearing at the Capitol last week. A new study committee will examine ways to control Wisconsin's sandhill crane population.
The big birds with the long bills and even longer legs can be a real problem when they swoop down on farm fields by the dozens or hundreds. A 12-member study committee is scheduled to meet this Thursday at Horicon Marsh State Wildlife Area. Committee members include state lawmakers, farmers, and conservationists. They've been asked to come up with recommendations, including a possible hunting season. That's something opposed by the Baraboo-based International Crane Foundation. Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Statue of groundbreaking civil rights leader Vel Phillips was unveiled at the Capitol in Madison Saturday. Her son, attorney Michael Phillips.
My mother was about bringing people together. She liked people. She cheered for people. She listened to them. So I'm quite proud of the piece that we have here.
The statue honors the first black woman elected to the Common Council in Milwaukee, where she led the fight for fair housing. Phillips was also the first black person elected to statewide office and was the state's first black judge. Vel Phillips died in Milwaukee in 2018 at the age of 95. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory-trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
Partly cloudy by later this afternoon. High today in the mid-80s with wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 67. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, warm and humid with a high of 88. More scattered thunderstorms are possible tomorrow night. Do you need help with back taxes? Call 800-281-8193. Tax Solutions Now, they can help. 800-281-8193. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 84.
And hello, glad you are with us here today for AOA, Agriculture of America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. We have plenty to discuss surrounding farming, ranching, and rural America here on today's show. Coming up, we're going to talk with Dave Green from the Wheat Quality Council, get a recap of that spring wheat tour that was held here this past week in the Dakotas, particularly in North Dakota, where it sounds like there's projections for a pretty sizable spring wheat and durum crop. We're going to talk to Dave Green coming up in segment four today. Ahead of that, we're going to sit down and catch up with John Sandbachen from the National Sunflower Association. How are sunflower crops and other various oilseed crops faring across parts of the U.S. Northern Plains? You know, we got good conditions for spring wheat. How about some of those other crops that we need to keep an eye on? Also, what's the global picture looking like as well, particularly in the Black Sea region and more? So we'll talk to John Sandbachen coming up in segment three here today. Then in segment two, we'll look at weather with DTN meteorologist John Baranek. We'll get an update on what he is seeing in that forecast as we roll into the month of August. Let's kick things off and talk markets. Joining us now, Darren Newsom, Senior Market Analyst at Bar Chart. Darren, hope you had a great weekend, and thanks for joining us again here this week.
Yeah, appreciate you having me on again, Jesse. It was a nice, quiet, a little bit steamy weekend here in Omaha, but it's summer, so, I mean, you have to expect that.
Yeah, a little bit steamy. I know that some of the longer range weather models, and we'll talk more about this and get some updates with John here in a little bit, had started to put some heat into parts of the Midwest. And that seemed to be at least one of the reasons why we put a little premium in the futures market last week before we gave it all back on Friday, is kind of the prevailing theme I've been hearing in the grains, and then down again to start the week on Monday. What's your perspective of just some of this action we've seen here in the last few sessions in the grain trade, Darren?
Yeah, initially, I don't think we saw a lot of buying coming in on the weather. I mean, there's probably some because, you know, as you and I both talked about before, these markets are weather derivatives. And so, you know, if traders want to trade the weather. But what we have to remember is that, in, particularly in the case of soybeans, you know, funds had moved to a record large short futures position as of the previous Tuesday. And so what we saw from Tuesday to Tuesday was some short covering. Now, yes, it could have been tied to some of the heat forecasts for the weekend, and this all set the stage. You know, Wednesday, Thursday, we chopped around, and then it set the stage for what I call wraparound weather market weekend activity, WWW activity, where we see a big burst of activity again on Friday based on weekend weather forecasts and extended weather forecasts. And that's what we saw. And again, as you were talking about, you know, possibility of some of that heat being taken out, we certainly saw the effects. We saw, you know, some selling coming back into the market. And then we get the weekend, we see some scattered rains, not much of anything. And then, it, you know, so we wonder what's going to happen on the back end of that wraparound activity. And Sunday night through Monday morning, we saw the soybean market again open with double-digit losses. So it looks like there's more to it than simply weather, but again, when we throw out all the impossible, what we're left is the possible. And that certainly, you know, again, comes back to, it looks like there was a weather forecast change. Folks aren't as afraid of weather here in early August as they had been, say, a week or so ago. So, yeah, it certainly looks like we're still in our weather derivative markets. And, you know, we get through Friday, we get through Monday, and all of a sudden we're coming up on the end of the month. And there are some key numbers that we have to keep in, you know, key prices we have to keep an eye on as we get ready to close out July.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that a little bit. You made a great comment in your morning commentary on Monday. There's a lot of month left here over the next few days. And I know we have some things going on in the outside macro markets with the Federal Reserve. Talk about that in a second. But in terms of the ag markets, grains and livestock, I just want to reiterate and get some thoughts from you on how end of the month, especially with all the fund activity that we have in these grains in particular, can always kind of bring some position squaring and some different moves, can it?
It can. I mean, and if we look at this big picture, again, you mentioned the FOMC meeting, and we'll get into that. But both the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ are in position to create bearish technical reversal patterns on their long-term monthly charts. And if so, that would indicate the down long-term trends might be turning down. So if that's the case, could we see some of that investment money roll somewhere else? Well, as of last Wednesday, Thursday, both corn cash and futures and soybeans cash and futures were in position for bullish reversals on their long-term monthly charts. Now, what happened Friday, what's happening here early Monday morning, has taken some of that away, taken some of that possibility away, but it hasn't eliminated it yet. Because again, if we change the weather forecast, we could see soybeans come right back up. And the key prices for December corn is, for both of them, is for Dease corn and Nove beans, is the June settlements of 420 and three quarter and 1104. If somehow we still come back and close above those levels at July, that'd be a bullish reversal. Looks a little bit unlikely right now, particularly in soybeans, but anything's possible. Again, there's so much that can happen over these next 3 days.
Very true. Very true. How about that FOMC meeting here to wrap up the month? What's the prevailing thought theme that we could expect from the Fed here this month, Darren?
I think what, you know, number one, the market's telling us, the Fed fund futures forward curve is telling us to not expect a rate cut this time around. Possibly at the end of the September meeting would be the next, would be the best opportunity to see the first rate cut. So that's what I think we're looking for. But I think a lot of folks are going to pay attention to the wording. Is the FOMC getting a better handle, getting a better feel for the inflation situation? You know, and I think that's what everyone's going to be looking for. As the market's point of view, no, we're not going to see a rate cut this time around. So again, it brings in all play of all the financial markets and what it might mean. But bottom line is, doesn't look like it's going to happen this time. But at the end of the next meeting in mid-September, it certainly could.
Darren, always appreciate the insight. Anything else you're keeping an eye on here this week in the markets, or anything you would want to reiterate to producers, ranchers, et cetera, listening in today?
Yeah. last week with all the weather talk and everything like this, we actually saw commercial selling in the corn market, not only in the old crop basis, as we actually saw basis weaken for the first time in quite some time, week to week, but we also saw some pressure in the future spreads. And we have to keep an eye on that because that's where we get a real read on commercial view of supply and demand. It's not bearish yet, but we saw the carry in the future spreads, new crop future spreads strengthen. So certainly something we have to keep an eye on as we finish July and head into August.
Definitely a lot to keep our eyes on, no doubt. Folks can learn more, DarrenNewsom.com. And as always, Darren, we appreciate you being with us here on the program today. And we'll look forward to getting you back on the program again next week. Darren Newsom, Senior Market Analyst at Bar Chart. Thanks for joining us today.
All right. Thank you, Jesse.
And coming up next, we're going to take a deeper look at the weather as we roll the calendar over to the month of August. As Darren pointed out, these markets are continue to be weather derivatives. What are some of the things we're going to be watching closely here with the weather pattern? Sounds like maybe some heat in the southern plains, some storms in the upper Midwest Corn Belt here early in the week. We're going to run through it all. We're going to have a conversation with DTN meteorologist John Baranek. He joins us next here on AOA.
Hey, I'm Reba McEntire. In life, you'll hear a lot of people tell you that you can do anything you want. I'm here to tell you that's true. Since I was a little girl, I dreamed of becoming a successful singer and entertainer. It took a lot of hard work, dedication, and perseverance to find my success, but it was worth it. I never gave up on my dreams. Remember, you can never have a dream come true until you've had a dream. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 74% of young producers said they get their most important agricultural information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you're in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasters.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, last week, much of the trade farmers were all kind of talking about the potential of heat moving into parts of the Corn Belt and the plains here as we get into the first part of August. Well, then seemed like the forecast late last week kind of took some of that out and shifted really away from that here. Now, we still have heat to talk about in parts of the country as we open up the week, but we're also seeing showers and thunderstorms as well. So a lot to catch up on here with John Baranek, DTN meteorologist. John, I hope you had a good weekend. Thanks for joining us again here this week on AOA.
Yeah, I did, Jesse. Thanks for having me on again. Yeah, we got, our weather forecast you alluded to, it's been changing quite a bit, and yeah. It's been kind of remarkable. I mean, when we were talking early last week, and it just looked like, oh boy, August is going to be a really hot month. And then at the end of the week, the American model, the GFS, decided to say, yeah, I think we're going to throw in a shot of cold air here. And it really threw everything for a loop. Now the Europeans on board with it too. And so the hot forecast that we were looking at for all of August is now getting at least a little break in there. I wouldn't call this like a complete change in the forecast, but it is for that one period there at the kind of the second half of next week into that weekend. And it does look like we will get at least a shot of cooler air working into most of the Corn Belt at that time. But, you know, like you mentioned ahead of that, we've got some heat to talk about here, Jesse. I mean, we got triple digits in the central southern plains, probably going to get that close to that in Missouri, Arkansas, and into Mississippi. But even north of that, we're going to be widespread upper 80s and 90s. So we've got a lot of heat that's coming in here for the last few days of July and the first few days of August. So the heat is there. It's just we're going to take a little bit of a break from it sometime next week.
It's fascinating how quickly these weather forecasts can change on us here. Even some of the longer range ones that seem to, you know, they're setting this up, and then poof, it's gone. And I know that that plays havoc for the markets in particular and things like that. But in terms of rainfall and things like that, you know, setting aside the heat for a second here, I know some severe weather over the weekend and into Monday, but still some good shots of rain for many areas. And that's got to help some of that continued crop potential, especially Eastern Corn Belt, things like that. So, I mean, talk about that aspect of it, bringing some of this rain through in a timely manner in many places.
Yeah, the precipitation, though, it's coming in shots, Jesse. It's, you know, batches here, batches there, thunderstorm clusters here and there. Does come with some severe weather. I mean, when you have all that heat down south and a lot of humidity, I mean, dew points are in the 70s in most areas here this week. We've got a lot of potential there for creating severe weather. And so every time we see clusters of thunderstorms developing here, we're going to be a little bit concerned about that. The Storm Prediction Center doesn't have a ton of significant impacts on their outlooks as of right now. But we could see some of those, especially tomorrow across Iowa, Wednesday across the upper Midwest, Thursday across the eastern Corn Belt, kind of pick up a little bit. And we might be a little bit more concerned later in the week. It really depends on kind of how these develop. And the interesting thing, too, I think why this Storm Prediction Center doesn't have anything really kind of catastrophic listed is because, you know, when you look at some of these models, they're developing these thunderstorms in different areas. And it's just it's real subtle, but it makes a big difference. Are we going to see those, you know, fire up in the south and that destroys all the potential farther north? Or is it going to be just too hot, a little too what we call capped, and they won't form over Iowa and Illinois, and they'll have to form over Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan? So I think there's a lot of uncertainty on where these clusters are going to form. And that's, you know, that makes a big difference. I mean, if we get these thunderstorms to be more towards the north, some of these areas across the south that are dealing with the heat and they're more going to be more prone to the heat this week, will have some detrimental effects where they just won't get the rainfall they need. Now, we've got a little bit of rain here this morning that's been moving through Iowa and Illinois. That's nice. But, you know, we're going to need some sustained precipitation here over some of these areas. And if it forms too far north, some of those southern areas could dry out. But it is coming in shots, and, you know, some areas are going to get hit, some areas are going to get missed. And Models are real subtle with it, but the subtle differences between them are actually quite significant. So, you know, that's just the time of year we're in. That's just how thunderstorms work. And with it not really based on, you know, really strong frontal passages, and it's more little waves in the atmosphere that are creating these little disturbances and where thunderstorms pop up. Those things can change on on a run by run basis between models. So we'll just have to unfortunately just wait and see where they actually hit. But they are going to hit the spots. So we are going to see rain, and it's going to come, you know, starting possibly in the western Corn Belt, in the Dakotas and Nebraska, and moving eastward. The farther east you get, the more likely you are to be a little bit more widespread with that rainfall. But we're going to have some hits and misses this week, and the misses are going to feel it with that heat being in place.
We're talking with DTN meteorologist John Baranek here today on AOA. John, how about those Canadian wildfires? Any updates? Have we gotten any relief to those wildfires?
They did get some relief into northern Alberta and British Columbia, where there's and Saskatchewan as well, where there's, you know, over 100 different wildfires up there. And anytime the winds switched to coming from the north, we saw that smoke go through the Canadian prairies and into the northern U.S. Last week, over the last couple of weeks, really. They got some relief up there, but not a ton. And some of the more intense wildfires there in southern British Columbia in the Canadian Rockies, and then also in the northwest U.S., haven't really had much help from rainfall. When the rains have come through, they were more likely to set off more fires with the lightning in them than they were to kind of help fire crews out there control some of those fires. So we've got a lot of fires out there, a lot of smoke out there. We'll continue to see that really pouring across the Canadian prairies. Sometimes if we get just enough of a northward component to the wind, we'll see that move into the northern U.S. as well. Of course, those ones in the kind of the west there in Oregon and California, with the wind out of the west, that's going through the northern plains as well. So we'll see smoke kind of being an issue, being a hazard for air quality. There's all kinds of studies out there saying, is it good for crops? Is it bad for crops? And we really just don't know. It's just too hard to really to model and test whether or not what the effects are of wildfire smoke on crops. So not really sure how that would, but it would be an important thing if you're out working outside, if you've got cattle or other animals out there that you're worried about. We could be having some issues with some wildfire smoke here over the next few weeks, really.
All right. I should ask you as well, how about the tropics? I know we had all of that talk around Hurricane Beryl starting up very early in the tropic season, and then it's felt like things have gotten a little quiet. Are we going to start to see some uptick in that tropical activity here, John?
Yeah, good point here, Jesse, because, you know, we talk about some heat and some dryness and causing concerns, but, you know, just one storm could really mess with that whole idea. And you're right, it's been quiet. You know, since Beryl went through earlier this month, we haven't had a whole lot on the docket. We've had too much what we call shear across the main development regions in the tropics. And so that's really kept down any of those tropical waves that have been moving across the Caribbean or Gulf of Mexico to really, produce a tropical storm. But July is not really a month where we see a lot of hurricanes and tropical systems anyway. Our peak is August, September, October. So we're entering that period now. And, well, wouldn't you know it, we're looking at a tropical wave here moving on the northern edge of the Caribbean and the Bahamas here later this week. We'll see if it gets into Florida this weekend, up the East Coast. We'll see. Kind of curious as to how that will develop. But we've got some potential there. And the month of August, really, we're going to watch the shear really fall off the cliff, and we'll have some significant potential there for some more tropical systems developing. Can't guarantee anything hitting the U.S., of course. We'll watch it, obviously, but, you know, models are not good enough to figure out whether or not we'll get hit by anything of significance. We're coming to the peak. We're coming into peak season, and it does look like it's going to get active here during the month of August and most likely into September and October as well. So at least our long range forecasters are saying, yeah, we're still anticipating a pretty busy season coming up.
Well, always appreciate the time and the insight. Folks can stay up to date with the latest weather forecast at dtnpf.com. And with that, DTN meteorologist John Baranek. John, thanks for joining us this week. Have a good one, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on again, Jesse.
John Baranek there with DTN joining us here today on AOA. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about what's happening with the sunflower industry. John Sandbachen with the National Sunflower Association will join us after this here on AOA.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
We're listening to...
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Milk markets were higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, August milk up 8 to 20.44, September up 4 to 21.44, October up 1 to 21.25, November up 22 to 20.69. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, live and feeder cattle markets are sharply lower on the day. A lack of any type of fundamental support has the traders a bit nervous in the live cattle market, and so they were selling contracts, and that spread into the feeder cattle market as well. Hog markets are sharply lower after two new cases of African swine fever were found in pig herds in Germany. August live cattle down $1.60 to $186.97. August feeder cattle down $3.27 to $256.42. August hogs down $2.02 to $91.45. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets were slightly higher on the day. Positive export inspections report for the week with 1.059 million metric tons sold, helping to support the markets. Soybeans mostly lower. A soft export inspections report and some moderation in that weather forecast for most of the corn and soybean belt that could see rain and less stress due to the heat pressured beans. Wheat markets mostly higher. Export inspections improving to 431,000 metric tons. New crop corn up 2.25 to 412.25. New crop beans down 9 to 1039.5. September wheat up 7.5.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Informing
America's Farmers and Ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And thanks for sticking with us here today on AOA, Agriculture of America. As we continue today's program, we are going to work to connect with John Sandbachen from the National Sunflower Association here in just a moment. And before we connect with John, we want to talk a little bit about this. The American Farm Bureau has released a new market intel analysis of the consequences of no new farm bill. As the farm bill is already a year late, the stakes are high and time is running out. And the consequences of not finishing the legislation and adding another extension of the 2018 bill could be somewhat disastrous. While crop insurance is a permanent program, it does need improvements to make it more affordable for all farmers. Plus, the fixed statutory reference prices that were set in 2014, they don't account for unforeseen market forces like the exceptional inflation in recent years. Now, also, by delaying the farm bill another year, Congress would be delaying help that could slow the consolidation rate of dairy farms. The farm bill's conservation programs are defined by a fixed amount of money being available, and like the safety net programs, their value gets eroded by high inflation. Now, the farm bill is also a chance to increase research funding and enhance U.S. food security. So again, that's some of the new intel, market intel analysis from the American Farm Bureau Federation. And you can find more about that at fb.org. Of course, a farm bill continues to be a big talking point amongst ag groups and throughout rural America. All right, let's turn our attention to what is going on in the sunflower industry. Joining us now for a conversation, the executive director of the National Sunflower Association, John Sandbachen. John, welcome back to AOA. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Jesse, and hope you are as well.
You know, I'm doing pretty good. I know coming up here in the next segment, we're going to get a recap of the spring wheat tour from this past week across the Dakotas. And it sounds like good conditions for spring wheat in Durham. Have to think that that maybe means good conditions as well for the sunflower crop across the Northern Plains, John.
You know, it definitely is. You know, we start out a little bit slower. You know, we had some cooler weather there and, you know, good moisture. But with the heat we've been getting here the last couple of weeks here, the crop is really caught up. You know, I'd say we're still probably about, you know, 4 to maybe 7 days, you know, behind where we would be normally. But overall, it's looking just beautiful right now.
Well, as we look at the crop, I mean, I know, of course, we continue to keep our eyes on, you know, insects and pest pressure, disease pressure, you name it, et cetera, et cetera. Is there anything like that that sunflower growers need to be paying attention to right now? What are you hearing?
Well, you know, on the disease side of things, a lot of producers have put on a fungicide application just for good plant health. Something as we get a little bit further into maturity is rust. And, you know, a year like this where we're having that heavy dew in the morning, warm temperatures, it's really ripe for rust, and something that, you know, it's easily to manage with a good fungicide. And I'd encourage producers to keep a close eye on their crop. And if they start seeing rust, we have all kinds of information on our website on that. It'd be something that they'd want to be aware of. Also, obviously, we're getting into the insect season part of the thing. And as we get into that early bloom, that 5.1 level, we're just beginning to bloom and beyond. You want to keep a close eye on insects, looking for banded sunflower moth, sunflower moths, red sunflower seed weevil, things like that. And so you just want to keep a good track of things and just, you know, see where you're at.
Let's turn our attention to the markets. And obviously, with good new crop potential here in the U.S. right now, that's one thing to take note of. But I know we obviously, when it comes to sunflowers and the oil seeds, it's a global market. So what are some things that you've been seeing across the markets for both old crop and new crop prices here as of late, John?
Well, you know, after harvest, you know, we've had two great crops in a row in 22 and 23. Prices really, you know, really hit the bottom. We were like that $10, $12 range, you know, at the crush plants for seed. And now we're up 17 to, you know, up to $20 at the crush plant. So we've seen a really nice uptrend in pricing. We had a lot of pressure at harvest, but that sort of eased. And I think the most interesting thing for the markets right now for sunflower is, like, as you mentioned, we're a global market, is what's going on in Russia and Ukraine. I mean, they're in some really severe drought type conditions. way above normal temperatures and lack of moisture. And they've been downgrading the crop here the last couple of weeks, and in some cases down 30% from what they were originally projecting. So that's something to really keep an eye on. And I think they're being a little bit conservative on how much damage is being done to the sunflower crop in those two countries. And, you know, they represent 75% of all exports. So, I mean, something that it's going to have an impact on sunflower prices. And I think that's why we've seen the uptrend in our pricing, knowing that, you know, we're going to have some opportunities here coming up next market year.
Yeah. Again, global markets, especially when it comes to the oilseed sector and more. So a lot to think about and keep an eye on there. We're talking with John Sandbonken from the National Sunflower Association. John, let's think about maybe some policy related stuff and other issues. What are some other things you're keeping an eye on when it comes to the Sunflower Association as we work through the summer months?
Well, you know, obviously we're interested in the farm bill, and you know, it just seems honestly right now, best case scenario, we're going to be looking at probably an extension during the lame duck session. You know, obviously in a year where we're having an election for president in both houses of Congress, it's going to be difficult to get anything done. I've talked to some folks that they think potentially during the lame duck session after the election that the farm bill could be looked at, but gee, there's going to be so many things going on with appropriations and things like that. And, you know, usually in a year where you might see some turnover where, you know, the Democrats might take back the House or the Republicans take back the Senate, you know, they're going to want to wait until they're in control, you know, before they really start working on the farm bill. It's disappointing because I know, you know, here we've been waiting for it. We're going to be 2 years out. But yeah, I think it's really better to get a good farm bill than one that would just be thrown together here.
Well, and I think about this, and I was highlighting this right before we jumped on together here on this segment, just some of the consequences of no-do farm bill. I mean, you think about it, we're already a year late. The farm bill, the extension is going to run out here in just a couple of months with the election in front of us, et cetera, that you're talking about, and just, you know, some of those consequences that I think are out there. And it's not just, you know, the main row crops in particular or livestock, but it's all segments of U.S. agriculture down to specialty crop growers and more that are impacted by this farm bill and the lack of a farm bill right now, John.
Well, you know, definitely. And even if they were to enact it, let's say in December of this year, we're not going to see the benefits of the farm bill for a year, you know, because the thing is payments are based on what you grow in that previous crop season. So really, you know, for producers, you know, you probably wouldn't see any kind of stimulus or any kind of help in that first year of the farm bill because of the fact we're delayed. I mean, there's not been an orderly transition from the current farm bill that we're in. And, you know, that's going to be difficult. And just the investment in research and some of the other areas, it just, you know, I know that, you know, Senator Hovind would look at doing some enhancements to crop insurance, which are definitely needed. And those also would be delayed. And so the longer we wait, the more difficult and harder it's going to be for producers.
Well, I think about this too, and I'd love your thoughts here. Obviously, with the August recess in front of us now, and I know that is a prime opportunity for folks throughout rural America and their districts to get an opportunity and get some face time with their senators and congressmen and women to talk about some of these issues and why there is a great need to get a new five-year farm bill done because the current one is 6 years old.
You know, definitely. I'd highly encourage everybody, you know, during that time when they're taking their work period in their districts or in their states, it's a great time. If you know they're going to have any kind of a listening session, or even if they're not, they're going to have a public appearance, you want to make sure you get in front of them to let them know how important the farm bill is to your operation and just what it means to agriculture in general. It's always good during that time, and I highly encourage people to do that.
John, it's always good to catch up with you. I know you guys have a lot of resources on your website, sunflowernsa.com. Any other final thoughts, anything else going on with the association that you could share with us here before we run out of time in this segment?
Well, you know, just right now the sunflower crop looks good. I think I'd really keep an eye on what's going on globally. I mean, this is going to start showing up, you know, this fall and into the winter months, you know, when they really realize the size of the crop that's going on in Europe and in Russia, Ukraine. There could be some really good activity in the sunflower market and something to keep track of.
Yeah, it's, again, to reiterate, it's such a global marketplace, and there is a lot to keep an eye on, in particular, going on in other regions of the world. Even though crops look really good here, could be some opportunities. Again, that website to learn more about the National Sunflower Association, sunflowernsa.com. That's sunflowernsa.com. With that, the executive director of the National Sunflower Association, John Sandbach. And John, always good to catch up with you and chat a little bit. Thanks for joining us here today on the program, and we'll get you back on the show again real soon.
Thanks, Jesse. Always appreciate being with you. Thank you.
You bet. John Sandbach, an executive director of the National Sunflower Association, with us here today on AOA. Well, as he alluded to, that sunflower crop looking pretty good here in the U.S. across the Northern Plains and throughout Minnesota, the Dakotas, and down into Colorado. Well, it sounds like the spring wheat and durum crop is looking pretty good as well across portions of the Northern Plains, particularly in the Dakotas. We're going to learn more about last week's harder spring wheat and durum tour with the Wheat Quality Council. Dave Green with the Wheat Quality Council is going to join us next year on AOA and give us a recap and rundown of what scouts saw on the tour here this past week. We will continue and get to that conversation right after this. You're listening to AOA, Agriculture of America.
Hey, wouldn't it be great?
It's common knowledge that after age 30, our metabolism changes. We have less energy and gain weight easier. There's a way to feel better, not in years or months, but sometimes in just days.
I'm Chuck Norris. I tried everything. Working with a team of health experts, we came up with Morning Kick. Morning Kick is a revolutionary new formula that combines all my favorite supplements into one daily drink.
Morning Kick has probiotics to help you lose weight, prebiotics for digestion, superfoods for muscles and joints, and powerful anti-aging supplements. It'll help you feel youthful, energized, and helps manage stress.
I look and feel better than I have in years.
Go to roundhouseprovisions.com, use code SAVE, or text SAVE to 511-511 and claim 40% off. Roundhouseprovisions.com, code SAVE.
Every purchase comes with our 90-day money-back guarantee. You could be feeling these changes within just a couple of days.
Text SAVE to 511-511.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Text fees may apply.
Total Wireless is made to totally keep up with you. We now have unlimited data that never slows you down. Covered by the Verizon 5G network. And for less than $30 a month, we make your phone your ride or die. Switch now and pick a free 5G phone with qualified plan purchase. And your fourth line at no additional cost. Visit your local Total Wireless store today. Total Wireless, we're totally with you. Actual speeds may vary by location. For data management practices, see TotalWireless.com.
Longing for thick, healthy, gorgeous hair? Hair Volume from New Nordic is trusted by millions of women around the world. With clinically proven ingredients like apple extract, biotin, and millet, Hair Volume nourishes your hair follicles to promote thicker, healthier-looking hair. Say goodbye to shedding thin and dull hair, and hello to thick, healthy hair with Hair Volume. Hair Volume is available online at Amazon, Walmart.com, NewNordicUSA.com, or at your local CVS.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of The Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for The Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss. Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, where we take a close look at the benefits of cooperative ownership. Every week, we'll host a new guest and discuss how you can get the most from working with your local cooperative. And we'll learn why farmers and ranchers just like you choose cooperatives to help them persevere and prosper. Tune in each Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7,
365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together, we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Don't risk losing the trusted news, traffic, sports, and weather you get from AM radio stations. It's time to make your voice heard. We need Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars. When internet and cell services are out, AM could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Trains are everywhere. You should always expect one, even on private property. Only cross tracks at designated crossings that fit your equipment. If you don't fit, don't commit. Whenever you're operating, secure your load, raise your equipment, and avoid getting stuck or causing damage. Minimize distractions. Remember, noisy equipment drowns out the sound of a train. Unless you're crossing, always keep a safe distance from train tracks. Look, listen, live. For more info, go to oli.org.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And as we continue here on AOA today, let's take a look at how that spring wheat crop is shaping up across the Northern Plains. Last week, the Wheat Quality Council had their spring wheat Durham tour across the Dakotas. Joining us now, Dave Green with the Wheat Quality Council. Dave, welcome back to AOA. It's good to talk with you again.
Yeah, glad to be back.
Well, it sounds like the prevailing theme I've heard from scouts on the tour last week is that this spring wheat crop is shaping up to be a monster, for lack of a better term. It's looking really good. Is that how you would probably describe this year's crop?
Yeah, and it's not just big in a few areas. They're having a big crop in all the areas. And, you know, in most years, there's parts of the, you know, there's crop districts that are much poorer than others, and that really isn't the case this year. And again, this wasn't a surprise. The government has it rated high. The weekly crop reports have it in good shape. The soil moisture was adequate almost everywhere, and it hasn't been hot, you know, so it's been, you know, up there, it's been in the 70s. I don't think they've had a 90-degree day, maybe until after our tour was over, but this is a big year for sure. You know, we ended up spending time worried about disease, because that is one of the things that happens, and we spent time worried about low protein, and again, that's a negative for the crop, because we really expect the spring wheat crop to be 14% or better, and I suspect that's going to be an issue this year. But as far as raw wheat production, man, it looked good. Good kernel fill, good number of tillers, tall, healthy looking. I thought it was quite a crop.
I know that the tour typically follows the same routes every year and predetermined routes that have been going for many, many years. But I did see a note that you guys added a leg through some of the northern counties of South Dakota this year as well. Is that right?
Well, what's happening there is what's happened in a lot of places in the country. Corn and bean acreage has continued to increase, to the detriment of wheat acres. So these long-term routes were, I wrote these down in the 80s to try to get coverage everywhere, But over the past 5 years or so, it's difficult to see a wheat field in South Dakota. And then on a couple of our southeastern routes, the green route in particular, there just isn't much wheat there. And so we've always felt that's kind of a shame to send a car out there and spend a day without a lot of wheat to see. But this year we had the head of the South Dakota Wheat Commission, a new guy, a great guy, and he wanted to go down in South Dakota. I said, okay, but you got to find me 10 wheat fields between, you know, here and there. And he did, but yeah, wheat is more sparse down there, and that's why we added the trip just out of a courtesy.
Okay. All right. That's an interesting tidbit there and something to think about with some of the shift in acreage. As we're talking with Dave Green, Executive Director of the Wheat Quality Council. Dave, what is, you mentioned kind of watching disease, things like that. I know scab is always a tough one for wheat growers in the Northern Plains. Was there much in the way of scab pressure developing or anything like that?
You know, the trouble with scab is that, you know, first of all, you know, spraying for it is the common practice now. I mean, almost every field you can see the ruts from the sprayers that have gone through. But scab doesn't show itself. You can't really see it until the crop's starting to turn color. And then you get the mold and you get the dead heads that you can't see a week before that. So on our trip, the wheat in the southern, let's say half of North Dakota, you could tell if there was scab or not. And there was quite a bit in the east. I'm not so sure it's enough to be a market factor. There was less in the west, but the northern half of the state we couldn't tell yet because it wasn't turning color yet, and so we can't tell if the fungicides worked or not. So there's a big gap there in knowledge, but of what we saw, we considered scab. You know, there were a few fields that were noted that looked pretty ratty, but for the most part, it was there. We saw it, but it didn't look like it was going to be a huge problem for yield or quality.
Well, Dave, as we wrap up our segment here, any final thoughts you'd have for us or thinking about getting across the finish line with this year's spring wheat crop? What has to happen between now and when the combines really start ramping up here fairly soon to get this crop out of the field?
They don't need much rain for sure. If it doesn't rain, it'll be okay because the soil moisture was adequate then, and that'll get it through. It's always better if we don't get extremely hot in this next couple weeks. If it stays in the 70s and 80s, I think it's going to top off real well. But if it does get hot and windy, that would be the scenario where you could knock some bushels off of this crop. But I don't know if there's much of a expectation of that, but there is some uncertainty still out there, but we certainly were very positive. You know, it's the negative is the pricing is bad, so they're upset about that. When they get scab, it's another reason not to grow wheat, so it's concerning that way. So, you know, you're looking at a big crop, but the pricing is a problem for them up there. And North Dakota, the thing about them is they have lots of crops to choose from. They can grow just about anything up there, and they will if they have to. So beans and corn, canola are going to keep increasing. I think the small grains are going to decrease over time if the pricing stays like this.
Well, great thoughts. Folks can learn more at wheatqualitycouncil.org. With that, Dave Green, Executive Director for the Wheat Quality Council. Dave, thanks for joining us on AOA. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Thank you. My pleasure.
Bye. All right. We're out of time here on today's program. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to talk with Josh Gackle from the American Soybean Association. Also have a conversation with Brian Wanningham from the Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers. All that and more coming up tomorrow on AOA. I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your day. When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that we can give our daughters everything they need to grow and learn. But not every child can focus on classes and play dates.
Nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. face hunger. That's one in six.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-230-2777. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only